Hello, welcome back to another episode of Discipleship.ca. My name is Steve, and thanks for joining us as we have another discussion with the hope, prayer, and goal of encouraging you in your daily walk of faith and journey towards Christ-likeness as we explore scripture, faith, and Christian life, as well as talking about what Jesus is teaching us on our journeys of faith. And today we have a guest joining us who I used to share an office wall with him and hear everything that was going on in his office because he is a boisterous, jovial guy. But we have Richard McGill with us here today. Welcome here, Richard.
I'm glad to be here.
Before we get into the questions and throwing it all at you here, these questions that you just freely admitted off air that you didn't prepare for, where are you now and what are you doing?
Yeah, so I am in Port Hardy, British Columbia. I am technically interim pastoring. I have a contract through June of 2025, yeah. But if the pastor who preceded me is still not able to come back, then it may open up into a permanent position.
One of those situations where pastoral care turned into congregational care turned into you kind of sort of live way out on Vancouver Island on the West Coast. For those people who don't know your province of British Columbia in Canada geography, it would be on the West Coast of Canada, about as far out on the islands as you can get in Canada. Like if you go west from Port Hardy, the next land is like Japan, right? Basically.
Pretty much. There's some small islands out there, but we're actually on the east coast of Vancouver Island, but we're as far north as you can get on the island.
Yeah, you're out there.
Yeah.
I mean, which is good, and that's good. Richard was our counseling pastor here in the church in that I served in before, so you've also got your qualifications from Associated Biblical Counsel, ABC?
Yep. Association of Biblical Counseling. I'm a level 3 counselor.
Yeah. So you come with that counselor kind of vibe, and if you're listening, you hear his voice, you understand that he is a Clemson fan from
South Carolina.
In the States, who somehow married his wife, who is an Alabama fan from Alabama.
And we have a lot of fun
during football season. That's like how Civil War started. That's good. Yeah, so today we thought we'd sit down, and Richard, I've known him now for a bit and have appreciated his ministry, and I appreciate his take on Christian walk and faith. So I thought it would be interesting to take him through these kind of what does discipleship mean to you personally questions. Which is the first question. What does discipleship mean to you personally? You can try to define it. You can share a biblical understanding of it. Or what does it just look like? What does it mean in your life as you practically kind of work it out?
Yeah, so there are two passages. And I wouldn't be surprised if these have come up. I must confess, I haven't listened to all your
it's okay. Apart from that, I'm on them all. I haven't listened to very many of them a second time. We've realized that we've done 100, and this will be a podcast 140, I think.
Wow.
It just kind of adds up. We're having fun doing it, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff that gets said that kind of I've remember as I'm doing podcasts. So
yeah,
I'll tell you if I remember anybody bringing these passages up.
Fair enough. But yeah, no, these sort of govern my philosophy of discipleship, whether I'm looking for somebody to disciple me or I'm looking to disciple someone. The first one is 2 Corinthians 1:3-4.
Yeah.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. In other words, there has to be a certain level of experience with God's comfort, or the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need. If I'm looking for someone to disciple me, I'm looking for someone who has seen the gospel work out in their specific suffering. Yeah. In such a way that they have received his comfort,
yep.
Which means they can comfort they can comfort me. And their suffering that they've received comfort for doesn't have to look like my comfort.
Yeah.
Because this passage says that the commonality between us is the comforter.
Yeah, not, is the comforter, not...
Exactly.
Not, yeah, that we've been comforted yeah. by Christ.
And so that is... I want somebody who knows me well enough to be able to say that. To provide that comfort and is mature enough to provide that comfort because they've received that comfort themselves.
Yeah, I can tell you right now, nobody's come at it from this angle, but nobody's been a counselor, right? So, no, and that's why I wanted to ask a broad range of people these same questions, just to hear how many different slices of life touch into discipleship.
Right.
Right? So that commonality of having the same comforter in our trials and tribulations and our turmoil and our hurts and our sufferings, that's actually huge. And I've never, I don't think anybody's brought that up before, which is fantastic. That makes me excited to see where this is going to go. So
good.
That was one. Good. You said you had two.
Yeah. Yeah. The second one is 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And this one's hugely, one of the most popular discipleship verses out there, but and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, mm-hmm. some versions say unruly,
yep.
encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all.
Yep.
I need somebody in my life, if I'm looking for a disciple, someone to disciple me, I need somebody in my life that has the discernment to figure out which I am in the moment.
Yep.
Am I the unruly? Am I the faint-hearted? Am I the weak? I need somebody who is wise enough to be able to admonish me when I'm being the unruly, encourage me when I'm being faint-hearted, and help me when I'm being weak.
Right.
Because I'm all of those things, and it may switch back and forth within moment by moment.
yeah, between our split personalities, we decide which one we are.
In exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's the two things that I just, you know, if I'm looking to disciple someone, that's who I want to be for them.
Yep.
And if I'm looking for someone to disciple me, that's what I'm looking for.
Right.
One last thing, and I couldn't think of a passage to sort of back this one up, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway.
Cue the heresy button. Here we go. are we going to get a heretic statement? Oh. Just so you know, 140 episodes. I've only edited one sentence of heresy so far.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
So don't go into that world.
One of my biggest blindnesses in my life, is that I actually can't. I'm not very good at seeing God's work directly in my own life.
Yeah. Okay. I get that.
And I want somebody who knows me well enough to be able to say, you know what? Here's your problem, but mm-hmm. here was your problem mm-hmm. yesterday. And you're better, you're not very good at it right now, but you're better than you were yesterday.
Yeah, so there's a longevity to that.
Exactly.
Right? You want to have somebody in your life that is around for a, you know, not just a season, but multiple seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
So it's not heresy?
No, I don't think so.
You're not going to edit it out?
I
don't think
so. I mean, if we were to put our collective pastoral brains together, I'm sure we can probably find some proverbs that talk about,
absolutely,
you know, the friends that stay with you forever. We could watch. Yeah. We could, Job is a good case point of not that.
Exactly.
Right. The opposite of that. What you could look at. You could look at. You know. Yeah. There's a few passages, or story arcs that would help us to see that. But no, I think you're absolutely right. We do need to have people who progressively see us through the different stages and ebbs and flows of life, right? So having somebody who's speaking into your life, discipling you, helping you process who maybe, you know, if you're married now, knew you before you were married,
right? Yeah.
Or before you, you know, if you've got kids, before you have kids, if you were not, you know, changing through job seasons and this, that, and the other thing, responsibilities. When you see all of those things change, having somebody who's walked with you through all those things can actually be really helpful in that direction, in that directive of discipling.
So just to sum it all up, I'm not looking for an accountability partner.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people reduce discipleship to nothing more
yep.
than accountability. Now, that's certainly a part of it. I certainly want yeah. somebody to be able to hold me accountable and rebuke me or yep. admonish me when I'm being unruly, but it's definitely not the sum total
yeah. of discipleship. Well, and that's the thing, right? An accountability partner doesn't necessarily flesh through the problem to figure out which one of the three you are in the Thessalonians passage,
mm-hmm.
right? They just are like, we're going to deal with the problem. Accountability partners or relationships almost always end up being, you broke the law, fix it.
Yep.
Not, here's God's grace.
Either that or a pity party.
Yeah.
If they're both struggling.
Me too.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you think that's bad? Let me show you how bad I am. Yeah.
Or they go the other way and go, that's not that bad. I do that too.
Exactly.
Right? And then you
exactly.
then you're making your sin okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you take those three ideas, the two different verses, and then the idea that long term deal, what's that look like in your life? Like so whether you want to go with your personal life and I know like you've got this long kind of varied career path. You were a United States Marine. You've been a long-haul trucker. You've worked in several churches. You've got, academia in your background of multiple degrees and worked through the counseling stuff. You're in a church. Like, there's a lot of variety there. You're married, which is, if you want to speed up your sanctification process, and expose your problems, you know, start, you know, covenant to be with one person for the rest of your life mm-hmm. and let them see all your nasty scars. So you've got that stuff. So you've got ministry, you've got work, you've got all of that thing. How have those three played out for you? Like, what's that look like?
First
like
off, I just want to point out that I appreciate the really nice way in which you called me old. You just called me old.
We're close to the same age, so we look at each other and see a lot of gray in beards. So
exactly.
It's all right.
You pointed out Melissa. I mean, the reality is she's my wife, Melissa. She's the one who has been with me. She's been with me for close to 30 years now.
Yeah.
You're right. She's seen all my ugly warts and actually decided to hang out. I tell people all the time, and it is so true, I have learned more about forgiveness from Melissa than I ever did in a seminary class.
Yeah.
And so she is my primary disciple, discipler. And yeah, you're right. Marriage is death. That's where it just lives.
Yeah.
You know. Now, having said that, I also have, every one of those steps in my career path, especially the ministry career path that you just brought up, I brought friends with me.
Yeah.
You know, I still keep in touch with people that I knew at Harvest Bible Fellowship. I still keep in touch with people that I knew at Home of Grace Addiction Recovery Program. And obviously, I still keep in touch with people that I knew when I was at Shuswap Community Church because I'm sitting here talking to one.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I grabbed Richard on the week that he's here gathering up his stuff moving. I'm not actually helping him move. I'm making him do a podcast.
That's what he thinks.
Yeah. No, we wanted to keep you here. That's the problem. Yeah. So you've gathered up these folks. So, and he kind of said, like, it's not an accountability process quite, you know, the way we were talking about it before. So how do you take those relationships that you have and bring them into your life in a way that is fostering discipleship? Or how do you step into somebody's life and do that?
Particularly
from a distance, right? Because so many of us now in our world, you know, you're doing it with FaceTime video calls or whatever, emails, text messages. Your person isn't always right beside you,
right?
In the physical
right.
Presence, but
you got to be honest. It is so easy. It is so easy to hide your warts when the sum total of your communication is through Zoom, or text, or whatever. And so you've got to make sure that you're intentionally transparent.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got to be able to ask the hard questions. You know, listen, you were struggling with this when I knew you, when we were hanging out together. Are you still struggling with it? Or you were really good at this. Let me ask this question, you know,
right?
About whatever this is.
Yeah.
So that's the key. And then even being intentional about actually communicating and keeping in touch at all.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and having some kind of a process set up, right? Like where, especially, and I find it's hard in the distance kind of through some type of technology system, whether that's a phone call, email, text messages, video calls, whatever it might be. There's got to be some mechanism where you can actually cut through that whole deal and be like, okay, no, I'm asking a question that you can't dodge.
Right.
Like, I'm asking the question and you need to answer it, and I need you to be honest, right? Like, having that moment where you can just be like, no, like, I know you're probably distracted and doing something else on the side as we message back and forth, or as we're doing, you know, that video call, maybe you've got it in the screen, but you're kind of paused on something else. Having that intentionality where it's like, no, now we're checking the heart condition here. So everybody's got to be all in for this next little bit of this conversation. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's, I have two questions. I'm going to throw one that wasn't even on the list that I gave you.
Uh-oh.
At you, which is okay. You're going to do fine on it. But the last question in the discipleship thing, if you could take one idea or thing and like physically download it and put it into every Christian's brain around the world, what would it be that you would want them to know about discipleship?
Discipleship is not a program.
Right.
It's not a system. It's not a structure. It's getting messy in people's lives,
mm-hmm.
and letting them get messy in your life.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's messy.
It's messy.
It's messy and it's close and it's together.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And the moment you try to program it, the program will say no, and
exactly.
and falls apart or blows up or whatever that might be. Okay, I've got you here. We're doing a podcast talking about discipleship. Here's my question. In the church today, you know, church universal, there's lots of conversations about mental health,
mm-hmm.
Mental well-being, whatever ways you want to talk about it. There's a blurring of the lines between biblical fidelity and secular counseling, right? We've got lots of people in churches that are going to secular counselors and foregoing biblical fidelity as they try to, you know, minister to their own hearts, minds, souls, get care that they're looking for. As a certified level 3 Association of Biblical Counselors guy, what would be your just kind of encouragement and or, you know, if you had 5 minutes to get on a soapbox about counseling on a podcast that is going to live forever eternally on the internet, I don't know. Yeah. What's your feeling about that, right? Knowing that you've done a ton of work, a ton of training, and you're super committed to biblical counseling, much more than, you know, to check the boxes, much more than, say, clinical and or, you know, anything on that kind of science realm, science care realm. What would you want people to know who are in the midst of big issues that typically feel like churches can't dive into them or whatever for whatever reason?
First off, surprise, surprise. I'm not against people going to secular counseling.
Yeah.
As long as they go to a secular counselor that knows to stay in their lane.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, Every intervention created by secular counseling out there, and I think I can say this pretty universally, pretty conclusively, is about treating symptoms. You know,
right.
And some of those interventions are really good, and they treat symptoms really well. In fact, in some ways, maybe they treat them so well that they're able that it allows for the person to avoid the cause.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
You know. I know, I'm sure we all know of somebody who had a headache and they took Advil so long that, it was, that by the time the brain tumor was discovered, right. it was inoperable.
Yeah.
And so the reality is we're biblical counseling, to be honest, we're not great at treating symptoms.
Yeah.
And so maybe we need to share the pulpit a little bit, or not the pulpit, yeah. but share the counseling yeah. room a little bit with people that are good at treating symptoms.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as we work with people, with counselors, with secular counselors that are aware that that's exactly what they're doing.
Right.
Treating symptoms.
Yeah.
So that we can work together. We work on the heart issues. They work on the symptoms. And boom, we've got a great team.
Yeah.
You know, there's a great care team right here.
Yeah. So you would go in that. So if we've got people listening, and I have no idea if this is a true situation out there. So if I manage to describe your situation, it's just happenstance that this happens. But say we got somebody who is working through some kind of an issue. We'll pick depression.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They are seeing psychologists,
mm-hmm.
whatever, counselor of some kind, mm-hmm. not with any care from a biblical perspective. What would be the encouragement for that person versus somebody who is suffering from depression but is only seeking biblical counseling?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like yeah. if we got the same person, but in one situation they're only looking to the church and pastors, and in
yeah.
then the same person only looking to
so the person who's looking at both, the person that's looking at both, my question for them is do you recognize what role each person has?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you going to the secular counselor or the psychologist or whatever simply to treat symptoms, because mm-hmm. that's all they're doing.
Yeah.
Whether they give you medicine, whether they give you talk therapy, whether they do cognitive behavioral therapy or meta-narrative therapy, whatever therapy their background is, all they're doing is treating symptoms.
Yeah.
They want you to feel better.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is a symptom of depression. It's not depression itself.
Yeah.
So if you're going to them to treat symptoms and coming to the church to figure out the solution, figure out why you feel,
yeah.
you know, what depression is, why you're so tempted to allow your depression to manage your life,
yeah.
to control your life, it may work. It may work yeah. out for you. Here's my warning to you.
Yep.
Psychologists don't see it that way. Secular sure. counselors don't see it that way. They see themselves as the solution. And so they're going to try to tempt you, most of them, not all of them, but they're going to try to tempt you away from the church, because the church doesn't know in their eyes, the church doesn't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
Now, for the person who is just looking for biblical counseling, I would encourage you, you know, you might actually need medication, at least yep. for a season.
Yep.
Or EMDR or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it helps us open our eyes to something we were
yeah.
blind to.
Yeah.
You know, the chemical and physiological.
Once you're able to cut through that cloud yeah, of
there's
whatever.
Yeah, there's definitely a physiological component to depression.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Maybe not all the time. I tell people all the time, there's two possibilities. Your depression or your anxiety or whatever may be all physical.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, that's not right. It may be all spiritual.
Yeah.
It may be spiritual and physiological, but it'll never be all physical.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So you, even, you know, I appreciate you that you're understanding there's a spiritual component to your depression, because you're coming to the church. You're coming to a biblical counselor helping you and trying to get yeah. them to help you through depression. I appreciate that. But we don't want to ignore the physiological component
yeah.
of it. So yeah, if it yeah. means changing your diet, changing your sleep habits,
yeah.
changing your exercise habits, if it means getting medication at least for a season. Mm-hmm. That's not anti-biblical.
No. Absolutely. That's good to hear. And I mean, it's always kind of that interesting conversation of how do you meld the two together? What do you have to be aware of? What do you need to think about as you do that? And honestly, sometimes in the course of discipleship, I've looked at people and said, no, you need to get some help for this area over here, and you need somebody who can write you a prescription, right? Because pastors can't do that. That's right. Typically not the same role. So, yeah, no, just was curious how you would play that through in those kinds of scenarios. So we kind of hit the end of the thing, but normally I ask people, or I ask guests, how people could connect with you if they wanted, but I'm just going to tell people they can go on Amazon and they can type in Richard McGill, M-A-G-I-L-L, and you will find Managing Your Household Well, Preparation for Aspiring Elders and Pastors. That was written with another gentleman. And you will find Beauty from Ashes, Planting Seeds of Reconciliation in the Ashes of, and then the title gets Ashes of a Shattered Marriage. And then there is Finding Hope in the Pain, How God Uses Suffering for His Glory and Your Good. You do have three books rolling out there. I don't know if you're writing more. I have actually read all three, and they are good. Good resources. So if you are curious to kind of explore, two of those are much more counseling kind of books. They're redemption counseling mini books. And the other one is kind of an elder pastor preparation thing that has a counseling kind of household dynamic in there. So you're able to find Richard that way. And like I said, he's on the far north end of the Vancouver Island in a town called Port Hardy. And I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate you coming in and hanging out with us. And I appreciate the fact that we're going to go have lunch together in just a few moments after we hang this one up. But thanks for joining us for our conversation
today.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, you can always subscribe, leave a like or comment on our social streams, or even tell others about us. We appreciate any help in getting connected to people who are interested. As always, you can find us online at discipleship.ca and on Facebook and Instagram. Have a great day. Hope you can join us next time.